Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. So many things we're going to talk about today. One of them is Jason Upton. You know, Jason Upton happened to be, we had an interview with Jason Upton just recently, and he's just a man after God's own heart. He just allows us to kind of listen in on some of the things that he writes and as he worships God. It's a pretty powerful thing, great revelation of the Father, a Father of God. And also, you think about this, I believe that you know, Azusa Street 2.0 is coming to America. And I believe that the young people are fixing to rise up and be used powerfully by God. And we have an internship at VFN, VFN TV Studios. So if you're interested in it, you can contact us at VFNTV.com. Go to the contact area. If you're interested in doing a six-month internship, you know, being discipled and learning how to operate in media and so many other things, it's a wonderful thing. But with that, young people rose up at Azusa Street 2.0, you know, Azusa Street 1, basically the original Azusa Street, and began to just, in their 16, 17 years old, God was using them for miracles, for leading people to the Lord, three services a day. They reached the whole world, and this is like 1906. You know, this is totally without having any, you know, computers and emailing and that type of thing. It was just the power of God, and I believe that's coming again. And one young man that really encourages me, he's 10 years old, but he's preaching the gospel. As a matter of fact, take a look at this. It's going to bless your heart.
I stand here before you as a 10-year-old child. I stand here before you as an uprising sixth grade student. But most of all, I stand here before you as a Christian. I stand here before you as a God-fearing young man. A young man who knows that with God all things are possible. A young man who knows that God is not dead, he's very much alive. A young man who knows that prayer changes things. A young man who knows that Jesus saves. A young man who knows that God is the way, the truth, and the light. A young man who loves God with all his heart and soul. I've seen it before you as a young minister who has accepted his calling. I may be 10 years old, but I know. I didn't say I'm not sure. I did not say maybe. I did not say I said I know. I said I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know I was created to be a spokesperson for God. In the Webster's Dictionary, the word spokesperson means a person who speaks for others. Well, God is using me to speak to you. I feel blessed to be here this morning to tell my peers not to focus on their age. Not to put off what they can and cannot do for God because of their age. Not to say I would, but I'm not big enough or I'm not old enough. I want you to know that God did not care how old you are. You can be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He just wants the praise. Let me say that again. God does not care how old you are. He just wants the praise. But he said that if where the people do not praise him, he will cause the rocks to cry out. Isn't it so? The thing for today is, even though I am young, send me. Adults are not the only ones who should praise God. Adults are not the only ones who should love God, respect God, worship God, adore God, obey God, and most of all, accept him as their personal savior. For themselves. Everyone has to accept God as their personal savior for themselves. Because your mother can't get you into heaven. Your father can't get you into heaven. Only you can do that. If we study his living word in the book of Samuel, We will read about a young boy who accomplished the impossible. He had all kinds of things fighting against him. Number one, he was young. Number two, he had no experience in fighting battles. Number three, he didn't have time to practice his strategy. Number four, he didn't have a strong weapon. Number five, he had to fight someone 500 times his size. And number six, he had no earthly person who supported him. In other words, no one had his back. At least here on earth. Do you know who I'm talking about? Yes, David. See, if you put the average young person up against all of these obstacles, they would run, they would flee. But not David. He was young and inexperienced, but he wasn't scared because he had a secret weapon. He had the ultimate weapon. He had something that the giant didn't have. He had the Almighty God on his side. You see, God had his back, and that's all he needed. I can see David saying to the people, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can hear him saying, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, I can hear David saying, God did not give me the spirit of fear, but he gave me the spirit of unspeakable joy, perfect peace, confidence, never fading faith, love, and a sound mind. Can't you see him watching the giant destroy what God had made? Can't you hear David telling God, God, though I am young, send me. When God did just what David asked him to do. And the results were glorious. I say to you today, if God used David back then, he can use you today if you let him. If you believe you can, you will achieve. Don't look at your battles in shake and terror. Instead, stand tall and let God fight your battles. For the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's.
We'll be right back.
I minister with a group of people that I just absolutely love because all of us, we get tired, we want to quit every week, and we look at each other and go, no, let's go talk to some more people. I know we were all rejected yesterday. Let's keep going. That's what the body of Christ was supposed to do. We were supposed to gather together to stir one another up, to encourage, put courage into each other. And that's what this is about. Man, our prayer is that God would do something in our midst that we really could walk away with greater courage.
I'm not the Son of God because you say I am. I'm the Son of God because God says I am. I'm not confident because of what I can do. I'm confident because of what God says he will do. I'm not forgiven because I've earned acceptance. I'm forgiven because God says he has forgiven. Help me preach. I'm not going to do it because I think I can. I'm doing it because God said I could. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I just want to tell you, is that not awesome? You think about this. The gospel is powerful no matter what age you are, whether you're 70 or whether you're 7. You know, there is no such thing as a big Holy Spirit and a little Holy Spirit. You know, if you're young and you're thinking, man, I'm waiting till I get to a certain age to be used by God, understand you can be used today. As a matter of fact, you may be able to be used more by God. You think about David as he was talking about. You know, David was a shepherd of a few sheep. While you had all this governmental, institutionalized military force and political force and all that, scared to death, hiding behind the rocks. because Goliath was out there. They were fearful of what ISIS was going to do. I mean, they were fearful of what Goliath was going to do. And so they were scared. They didn't go out to fight him. Nobody wanted to go fight this particular issue. But David rose up and he said, is there not a cause? I mean, you think about that. Is there not a cause? And there's a cause today, but we need young men to rise up, young women to rise up, you to rise up, any age that you are, and say, you know what? There is a cause standing up for God. This is going to be the most exciting days because men and women are going to stand up. I believe Azusa 2.0 is going to happen, and the power of God is going to be loosed in a big way. The greatest revival the earth has seen is going to take place. Some of the reports are over 1 billion souls are going to be saved. And these are really exciting days for the church. Now, the church, we got to come back to God. We got to come back to being His disciple again. As a matter of fact, if you're not connected or related to a specific church, maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. You need to get onto Emmaus Road. That's what we call being a disciple with Jesus Christ, where your heart is burning inside of you. You need to get connected to God and connected to a body who's going after God, because we want to be just like this young man, and we want to be a part of Azusa 2.0, what God is going to be doing in the earth and in America. Join us with Jason Upton's interview right after this break. Do you remember a time when God was moving in your life and you could hear the voice of God and you could feel the gentle promptings of Jesus Christ in your life and His Spirit? This is what we're called to live in that place. But so many things, and especially religion, wars against that. But one way to start that is begin to say, you know what? I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to begin to walk down Emmaus Road. I want to begin to walk down this road with Jesus. That's the road that Jesus, when He was resurrected from the dead, He got on this road, and the road was going to Emmaus, and He was talking to His disciples. They couldn't tell it was Him yet, because their eyes just couldn't see yet in regards to who He really was. And He began to talk to them about who He was in the Scriptures, the Bible, and their hearts burned inside of them. It's about an intimate relationship with God. And it's been turned into religion, it's been turned into politics, it's been turned into all kinds of things. But what you were born for is intimacy with God. You were born for that. That's why they were willing to go back to a place of persecution. That's when you feel the most real, is when you're in the presence of God and you're speaking to God. There's nothing like it. And there's nothing worse than a religious spirit just tingling on and making all these noises. And it's like, why even do that? Well, Emmaus Road, we actually have an Emmaus Road for you that you can begin to walk down. Because He says, those who actually know My teachings and follow My teachings are disciples, Jesus said. And it's a very simple thing to do. I mean, you can choose the path that you want to be able to take. You can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org, go to Hello Church. You see it right there. It says Emmaus Road. Click on that. Emmaus Road Discipleship, and you can decide which way you want to go. So you can become a disciple today. I believe persecution is here and it's coming, and it's important to understand why you're being persecuted, and it's important to stay faithful to the Lord in the midst of that. And God wants you to know His voice. He says, My sheep know My voice and follow none other. He wants you to abide with Him. He says, apart from abiding with Him, we can't accomplish this. We can't live this life. We can't be the husband we're supposed to be, or the wife we're supposed to be, or the parents we're supposed to be, or the children we're supposed to be, or the pastor, or the business owner, or the political leader. God empowers us to be able to do that through an abiding experience with Him. You know what? We even have an abiding plan for you. A lot of people want to abide with Jesus, because He said, apart from abiding in Me, you can't accomplish anything, but if you abide with Me, you'll be fruitful. We have an abiding plan for you. It's a simple one. And you can find it right now at iabide.org. That's iabide.org. You go there, request the plan. It'll come to you in your email. And you can begin to abide with the Lord today. Be His disciple and abide with Him. Follow His teachings, know His teachings, and hang out with Him. There's nothing like it. They were willing to go through persecution for that.
We'll be right back. David Weber from San Angelo, Texas, who's a technical training instructor, wants me to talk about conviction. David, I love this quote. I've said it many times. I think it's very true. One person with conviction is a majority. How many times I've seen a group of people that basically didn't know what they wanted or where they were going, but there was one person in the group they knew. They felt it with passion. They spoke it from the heart. They were determined that that was exactly what they were going to have, and pretty soon
other people began to pick up on that conviction. They began to pick up on that passion. And what do you know? Pretty soon that one person with conviction is the majority and everyone else is following him or her to that desired destination. I've often said to have an answer is a wonderful thing, but to have the conviction of the answer is even more wonderful.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Wasn't it not awesome to hear this young man and just, I mean, that was powerful. That was
preach the truth.
I'm flipping his notes over, you know, it's like, hey, my goodness, you know, seeing that. I want to encourage you, if you're a young person or if you're an older person who's been telling young people you need to wait, because I remember one particular, church that was based, their mindset was, you know, we just don't do anything with the kids until they're like 13 years old or something of that nature. It's like, what? I mean, do you know what happens to an intelligent human being by the time they're 13? And so it's exciting to see that. So I want to encourage you, maybe the internship's for you. And you could be 70 and you can be, young.
Seven.
Well, no, you can't be seven in an internship.
Well, you know.
But maybe this young man, could. He's 10. This interview now with Rags to Riches Ministries,
Father's Signature Event. Mm-hmm. We had the opportunity to get an interview with Jason Upton and just sit back and talk. And we really enjoyed our time together. We could have even went longer, but out of courtesy for Jason, he was so friendly and so willing to share so much. We said, all right, Jason, that's enough. Now, I want you to watch and be blessed.
Hey, Jason, we're excited to have you here in Pensacola once again. I know you've been here before. Talk to us about the Father's Signature and why this is important. You get invitations to go many places. Why was it important for you to come to this event here today?
Well, in particular, when anybody asks me to come and share a particular on the heart of the Father, understanding, that Jesus comes to show us what God looks like.
Yeah.
And so it's... whenever I get an opportunity to share on that,
That's an easy thing?
Yeah, it's easy to know, this is a place I belong,
I'm glad to have you. I wanted to ask you to share a little bit about the Father's heart and some of the things that the Lord has shown you. I know in your music, a lot of times you're expressive of the Father's heart and how we're to relate to Him. Talk to us just a little bit about that and why that's important.
Yeah, Jesus shows us the Father's heart, and so... the life that Jesus lives, he doesn't just live in particular, like just starting with Jesus shows us how to be human, and to be fully human is to be connected with earth and connected with the Father's heart at the same time. The desires of the Father, the longings of the Father, to have both of those going on at the same time is what it means to be fully human. It isn't fully human just to be connected to this world.
Yeah.
And it isn't fully human to just be connected to the spiritual realm. It's fully human to know the Father and to know that He knows our name and to be connected that way and then to be connected with humanity. Yeah. Jesus shows us how to do that. So that's first is that this relationship that Jesus has with His Father is a relationship He longs for all of humanity to have with the Father.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love how the Lord uses you in the gifting of worship and music. I feel like many times through your songs and the different times I've seen you lead worship, that it's almost an invitation for us to join you in that worship to the Father.
Yeah.
Talk to us, how important is it as a worship leader? Today, there's many worship leaders, and I believe there's a powerful move of God on the horizon, and we're going to need many of them. Mm-hmm. But what's the heart of the worship leader as opposed to performance? And can you speak to that a little bit?
Entertainment is to detain people from entry. So what I'm always doing is trying to invite people.
Yeah.
And you're not inviting people to do more. You're inviting people to put themselves in a place of receiving, what the Father's giving in the moment. And so So that's the whole point of everything I do with worship, is inviting people into the presence, the real presence of God. Not just his presence, like his presence, but his, how present he is to us in our in every moment of our lives.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what happens a lot of times when we call things revival or moves or these things that happen, it is when both are present at the same time. Hmm. When you have God present and we're present and we're interacting with one another, this is a powerful, you know,
dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Talk to us about, you know, we have access and there's churches and connections and that watch our program. What type of wisdom would you share with future worship leaders that wanting to begin to move in worship? And I know there's many things that you can say, but what do you think is like fundamental? If you could say one thing to an up-and-coming person that feels like, you know, God's called me to worship, what's your heart of wisdom for them?
If I had one thing to say, I would say that expression puts a cap on worship. So when we make worship just the expression, well, you're capping it. And every once in a while, somebody will come through and break through that rooftop we've put on it, right?
Yeah.
But when we make the activity of worship, like really, Jesus didn't say much about singing to him, but he said a lot about following him. So when we make the activity of following Jesus, if that's the goal of worship, well, that's going to transform worship. And it's those fingers go forever, so you can't... You know, when you put a cap on expression, when you make it about expression, you know, you put a cap on it.
Yeah.
There's an end to it. When you make activity focus of worship, there's no end to the expression. It just keeps going and going.
That's beautiful.
But if I had one thing to say to worship leaders, it would be, don't make the expression the end goal, because the expressions are going to change. They change every 10 years. And what happens is you end up telling people something that's not true, and that's that this expression is worship.
Wow, that's wonderful.
That is never worship. This is worship. Sometimes the expression leads to activity. But Jesus said a lot about following him. He didn't say a lot about singing to him. So forms and ways in which we sing to God are not nearly as important to God as the activity. And when the activity of worship is happening, the expression is endless. We can recite poems, we can recite scripture, there's so many ways that we can worship God when the activity is present among us.
That's beautiful. I know that you're a songwriter, and I know that you seek the Lord. Talk to us about that process. How does the Lord give you worship songs? Where does that come from?
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of study. I spend a lot of time with, you know, reading writers and reading the scriptures, and a lot of practicing of what I read, not only theology, history, things like that, but poets, and then off, you know, also obviously the words of Jesus, and trying to practice that. So, you know, when I write music, it often comes out of just a life lived trying to follow Jesus, and I write poems out of that, and then it ends up being music. In hearing the voice of God, it generally starts with, you know, the idea of let there be light is, I often will get an unction or a sense of something before I have language for it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So a lot of what I write on is Jesus. See, people say Jesus speaks to you. Yeah, he speaks to me, but he very rarely uses words.
Mm. Yeah.
In fact, I don't ever know if he ever has used words, but he's still speaking. Some say, does he speak in English? No, he never speaks in English. What happens is he begins to speak at 5:30 in the morning or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and it may take me 6 hours or 10 days or 30 days or 40 days to put words to everything that he's saying.
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis said it in the you know, Voyage of the Downtrodden, he says, and Aslan said, but I'm not sure he spoke. Same kind of concept. And so what happens is, let there be light is, let there be illumination and let there be understanding of everything that God is doing and everything that God is saying.
Wow, that's good.
So often the way he speaks to me isn't, hey, Jason, this is what I want you to do. It's more, I have a sense and I know in my spirit what's being said, even in the instant moment that he's speaking to me, but I don't have language for it. I haven't figured out it. And so writing is the way in which, writing poetry is the way in which I sort of put language to what it is that I'm hearing.
Wow, it's beautiful. What's one thing, out of probably many, that the Lord is sharing with you now, but what do you think, what is God saying for this hour to you, for the church, and maybe even for the world? What's on the Father's heart?
Jesus. I've always sensed this, but I feel like, you know, Jesus is on the Father's heart. You know, when Jesus was on the, you know, Mount of Transfiguration with the disciples, for instance, I mean, I don't necessarily know that there's anyone that's more famous than Jesus is. But Jesus, when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration with the disciples, when God spoke to those disciples, he didn't say, this is my beloved son, go make him famous. He said, this is my beloved son, listen to him. And I feel like on the Father's heart right now for the church is, will you trust the way of Jesus? Is the way of Jesus the way that leads to real life? Or have we taken on the Peter's way? Or Judas' way? Or Herod's way? Or there's the way of Jesus, and then there's many other ways, and that's the next season of time, I think, is a time where the church gets to either decide we're going to choose to follow the Jesus way, or we're going to follow another way that may work in the temporary very well, but I think in the end we're going to finally come to terms with His way is the way that leads to life and peace and resurrection, joy, and the fulfillment of making all things new and His kingdom come.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So,
any current projects that you're working on?
I'm working on a couple projects. I'm working on A Table Full of Strangers, which is songs in following Jesus. So I have volume one coming out next month. So I'm really excited about
that. Where can we get that at?
Probably through the website, on iTunes, you know, various places.
And
you know,
the website is?
JasonUpton.com.
Okay, great. Yeah. And we can follow you on Facebook.
Absolutely.
And all the
Facebook,
social media.
Twitter, yeah, all this, Instagram, Twitter, everything.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.